If you thought we were done, if you thought we were done talking about the anti-white propaganda, you're sadly mistaken. I hate covering this stuff. I genuinely do. But it's the thing that's happening. It's like, I was never, like, coming up, whiteness was never important to me. Israel was never a major topic of concern. But as you look around the news today, you see the attacks on white people as being the most egregious and really sickeningly hateful trend in the world. And you see Israel stopping any pushback. And it's like the 1-2 punch that has left Western Europe in a state of abject desperation at this point. And it just, maybe it's just me, but I'm able to see this stuff like a space alien. Like, you just look at this and it's just, you just shed all of your preconceived notions and all of the societal programming that is acting like a filter in your brain, where for reasons you probably haven't thought about and don't understand, hearing white people say something makes your skin crawl, and hearing non-white people say the same thing doesn't have that same effect. You got to get over that. You got to break through that. You got to recognize that what's happening is the same thing that's happened over and over in history. It's just white people are the victims now. So you got to stand up for them. Aren't you the type of person that stands up for the victim? I know I am. I know I'm always on the side of the underdog. I'm always on the side of the innocent. I'm always on the side of the group of people being oppressed and tyrannized by another group. In that case, white people are the people I'm with now. They're the ones, we are the ones being oppressed. We are the ones being condemned endlessly for no reason. Let's go to clip number 16 here. Just in case you need to be reminded of how this is talked about in the mainstream media in America. Let's watch.
We don't need white people leading the Democratic Party right now.
White men who think like you.
To the white men running to be the Democratic presidential candidate, can you not?
Where people just get very, very excited about white men. I mean,
we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men.
Our country should be more fearful of white men.
People of color have been saying since the election that the Trump election was about white supremacy.
But what about the other side of the coin? White privilege.
Been able to cash in on white privilege.
Dear white people.
Democratic Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she's catching heat for apparently deciding to only grant interviews to black or brown journalists.
I don't want to say we need to go start killing all white folks, but it's like,
but
maybe they need to feel the pain in the heart.
Yeah, maybe we just need to kill all white people. That's reasonable discussion about race. White people saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't be killed. White supremacy, you're going down the Nazi trail there. You better watch it, okay? Even Matt Walsh is catching up to this. Let's go to clip number 15 here.
Why was Carmelo Anthony allowed to receive his diploma? He killed an unarmed white kid and then lied to police about stashing his knife in the bleachers. That seems like the kind of thing that should disqualify you from graduating. I don't know. And while we're at it, what evidence was there that Derek Chauvin actually killed George Floyd? Even the jury told CNN they didn't actually think Chauvin killed Floyd. They convicted Chauvin because, in their view, he didn't demonstrate enough compassion to a man who was clearly overdosing of his own accord. And while we're at it, why were the prosecutors allowed to lie to the jury about the relative amount of fentanyl in Floyd's system? By comparing his blood samples to samples from overdose victims that were taken long after their deaths. Until we get serious answers to these questions, don't talk to us about the Cinnabon woman who had a bad day. Okay, she's not a hero or a martyr, but she is the predictable result of decades of anti-white propaganda that has destroyed far too many lives. And like the Cinnabon woman, we are all tired of it.
Yeah, she actually is a hero and she is a martyr, so... Yeah, the soullessness of straight white men. I mean, we showed the compilation 5 minutes long of all the different headlines. If you're sick of hearing about this, imagine how sick we are of hearing this. It's been my entire life. I figured this out in kindergarten. Right. Oh, gee, if white people are afraid to talk about themselves, that's kind of a sense of superiority. Maybe we're not special and do deserve to be protected.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
So maybe tomorrow I find my way.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of The War Room is on. I wish I could talk about different stuff. I really do. But it seems like this is... all this is so deeply intertwined. You want to talk about the economy, you better be talking about immigrants. You want to be talking about immigrants, you better be talking about the way immigrants are seen as a weapon to destroy white people. You want to talk about the weapons to destroy white people, you got to talk about all of the psychological programming that's gone in, the propaganda that has white people calling for their own destruction. All of these things are deeply, deeply, deeply intertwined. Our economy would be better if white people hadn't been indoctrinated into hating themselves and being okay with being replaced by the immigrants that are now destroying the economy. All of these things are intertwined like a giant chain wrapped around our neck. It's time to break it already. My God. And this has real, tangible, horrible effects that we'll get to in just a second. Let's go first to clip number 17 because people are waking up to this. And... by the way, just to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, you understand that whether it's Israel or white people or war or Trump, we have been consistent the entire time. You can go back. You can go on band.video. You can go to The War Room. Or for me, you can go to The American Journal. You can scroll back down to when we started the show in 2021. And I'm saying exactly the same stuff I'm saying now, even before I had the show. When I'd come on and host, we said exactly the same thing. So while everybody else is waking up to this, we've been here the whole time shaking you, yelling, wake up, wake up. Finally, people are. But because so many people are, it might give you the sense that InfoWars is also following this trend, that we're also, you know, just moving along in this group with everybody else. No, no, no. We've been here the entire time. Because despite all of the attacks that we get from pro-white people, all the attacks that we get from anti-Semites who want to be mad at us for not taking their side on white supremacy or hating people because of their race or immutable characteristics, we have always been pro-America, and we have always stood against the oppression and destruction of groups of people, even if they're white. It's actually a consistent belief to have. To look at Jim Crow and see black people by law, the government preventing them from having the same rights as white people, you say that's wrong, it shouldn't be that way. You see the opposite in terms of races, you say that's also wrong. That's the consistent belief. That's the belief we've had the entire time. And the entire time I've been here at InfoWars for 7 years, white people have been the target of oppression, the target of assault, the target of violent attack on the basis of their race, and we have always stood up against that. So I'm glad more people are coming around to this. I'm glad more people are just ripping the tinted shades off their eyes. They can actually see the world for what it is and actually recognize. And again, I've always said there is a weird form of inverted white supremacy where white people don't take threats to white people seriously. White people have been so pumped up, you know, by their own narcissism that they think it's fine, you know, if all these people move in. What's it going to do to me? I'm white. It's like, you're not special, dude. You're the same as anybody else. White people aren't immortal. We're not invulnerable. We're not capable of dealing with an endless amount of hate and repression. We will go away. We will suffer. We will die. So stop acting like you're special. Stop acting like you're invulnerable. Start taking your own side just like everybody else does. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with loving everybody and including your own people in that everybody. There is something wrong with all these other groups who hate white people, who despise and denigrate and want to destroy white people. They're the bad guys. But the modern mainstream morality, just like the only problem that exists is white people existing, right? Crime, not a real problem. Overburdened governmental programs, not a real problem. Whiteness, that's the only problem we're capable of coming together to try to solve. I'll just say it's the same thing. It's the only thing you're allowed to believe is, you know, white people are evil. And that's the mindset that's been perpetuated to the extent now that you have people openly calling on murdering white people and thinking they're the moral ones. I don't have to justify my existence to anybody. And I don't have to justify my outrage to anybody about this. And again, if you want to point to violent white supremacists, if you want to point to white people that hate other people, I'm against them too. So it's not even a gotcha on that. But at least they're the fringe. At least they're the weirdos nobody wants to talk to. At least they're on the outskirts. When it comes to anti-white hate, it is in the direct center of the Democratic coalition. It is the glue holding all of them together. And the people that promote the most vicious, hateful, and vindictive mindset towards white people are their most elevated and celebrated celebrities. The highest rank in their academia. Okay, so let's go to a couple clips here. First, we'll go to clip number 17. This is back to what I was saying, where people are waking up to this and coming around to where InfoWars has been for decades. Let's go to clip number 17. This is a woman named Justine Brooke Murray coming around to the understanding, yeah, white people aren't evil. In fact, the anti-white hatred is the evil thing. Let's watch.
White privilege means you'll face jail time for saying bad words to any minority, but any minority can stab you over those bad words, and the media and justice system will not only rule that you deserved it, but they'll let the actual criminals out of jail dozens of times. Your words will count as hard-hitting news, while their violence might get a mention or two in the tabloids. So, yeah, lecture me again about my privilege, because I've yet to find it.
That's a very good point. Again, disequal. Not inequal, disequal. Okay? If our words created headlines and their words didn't, that would be inequal. If we were arrested for violence, but they weren't arrested for the same violence, that would be unequal. No, we're arrested for words. We're condemned for words. They're celebrated for violence. That's how unequal this is. And this, we only get to this point by the continual propaganda that's pumped out. Again, not by fringe, random, radical leftists that are condemned by everybody else, but by their most celebrated, their most uplifted, their most special people, right? This is a recording from a woman who Yale Medical School invited. She is a Columbia PhD. And here she is, no uncertain words, fantasizing about just literally murdering white people. And she was invited by Yale to discuss the psychopathy of whiteness. Let's watch clip 18 here. Yale School of Medicine Child Study Center hosted this woman for the psychopathic problem of the white mind. This is what she said.
I have fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless. With a bounce on my step, like I did the world a favor. This is the cost of talking to white people at all. The cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. Psychological predicament. Because white people feel that we are bullying them when we bring up race. They feel that we should be thanking them for all that they have done for us. They are confused, and so are we. Can you hear me okay? Yes? Okay. saying that directly talking about race is a waste of our breath. We are asking a demented, violent predator who thinks that they're a saint or a superhero to accept responsibility. It ain't gonna happen. They have five holes in their brain. It's like banging your head against a brick wall, just like sort of not a good idea. We need to remember that directly talking about race to white people is useless because we're at the wrong level of conversation. Addressing racism assumes that white people can see and process what we are talking about. They can't. That's why they sound demented. They don't even know they have a mask on. White people think it's their actual face. We need to get to know the mask.
Anti-whiteness is now institutionally accepted in academia, education, media, and everywhere else. Anti-white rhetoric is leading to anti-white violence. Of course it is. Now, that woman was invited to Yale to give that presentation in which she fantasized about killing white people, saying it would be doing the world a favor, condemning white people of being incapable of even talking about race because we're so stupid, I guess. We're so inhuman. That we don't even understand that the face we're wearing isn't our real face. You don't have to stand for this. And what are we going to do about this? What's the solution to this? You might say, well, you know, what are you going to do? You have free speech here. She has free speech. She wasn't calling for direct violence. She was fantasizing about killing white people. It's not good. She's being hosted at this university to hold this talk. What are we supposed to do, right? We're just helpless. It's not like the government has all of these levers they could pull to bring the Ivy Leagues into their heel, right? Right? I mean, if the government could do that, it would probably do it, right? Like, do you understand the frustration when the U.S. government basically threatens to bankrupt Harvard and Yale? Because their students are protesting in favor of Palestine. So in order to shut down the political activity of their students, the Trump administration basically lines up the Ivy Leagues against a wall, points a gun to their head, and says, institute anti-Semitism laws or you get the bullet. But when Yale is hosting women fantasizing about killing white people, they don't even mention it. They don't even recognize it. They don't even notice it's happening. This is the 1-2 punch. You've got these vicious, hateful idiots that are given premier, you know, spotlight by our academia. The government does nothing about it. There's no outrage over it. There's no attempt to, you know, punish Yale for hosting this type of crap. But then if they dare to even give credence to people protesting Israel, it's all hands on deck. Just no limitation to what they can do, no barriers to their freedom to act. They're bankrupting them. They're writing articles about them. They're suing them. They're kicking out their president. Like, do you understand the frustration? It's not even about Israel. It's about seeing the way our government moves for people when they aren't us. It's about the power the government has to correct these problems that they never wield unless it's people exploiting us. Israel in particular. We'll delve more into that later, but what is the outcome of this? What is the ultimate consequence of what we've been showing you today? The endless hatred of white people, the endless discrimination from our most powerful and most prominent voices. Well, I've got three videos from today to show you, okay? Now, I could show you endless videos, literally endless, because by the time you watch all of them, 100 more have been created. You could just go on forever. Endless videos of white people being attacked viciously by black people. We were showing one earlier today. White guy on a train being beaten for no discernible reason. I mean, these things happen literally every single day. So let's just look at the three videos from today where it's not a white adult being attacked, but instead it's the more vulnerable things that we love. Let's go first to clip number 14. Here's a little, you know, conflict between neighbors and the outcome of the dehumanization of the white people. Let's watch. Here's a guy power washing his truck when a neighbor comes up.
You yelling at my mama over there? I didn't yell at him.
Have words. You yelled at my mom. No, I didn't yell at anybody. What are you talking about?
Not only back up. If you continue that.
You know how old my mama is.
Booted the dogs. This guy's got a little, couple little dogs. He picks one up. One walks up and just kicks the other dog across the lawn. Boots it like a football. All right, that's just one example. We got two more from today. That was today. Let's go to clip number 19. Black mom and daughter bully a small child and an elderly man at a trampoline park. So now here it looks like a grandfather's brought his grandson to the trampoline park to have a good time. Unfortunately for him, there's, should we call them propagandized Americans there? Let's watch. There you go. Just kicking a little white kid in the chest for no reason. Mom's worst nightmare ever. I let dad take Hunter to Sky Zone, and they were in a group messing with my son. And so it's like a, 14-year-old black girl just kicking an 8-year-old white kid in the face. I'm literally so hurt I cannot describe it in words. And what does the mom do? Does mom freak out? I mean, I have kids. You take your kid to the park. Your kid, they're not always the best behaved. Sometimes they accidentally hurt a kid or they, you see him rip a toy out of another kid's hands. What do? You run up to your kid and you go, whoa, hey, that's not how we act. That's not how we treat people. Not this mom. This mom gets in the face of the kid's dad or the kid's grandfather and starts yelling at him because he's mad that his little grandson just got booted in the face by a black girl twice his age. And the mom's mad at the grandfather, not the daughter. She did a great job. Because remember, white people are evil. Remember Joy Reid? We killed 90% of the natives when they tried to help us. I mean, we're evil. We're bad. We deserve it. I guess that little white kid's lucky all he got was a boot in the throat. Right? Maybe he's lucky that it was a teenager that did it to him rather than an adult. Because nowadays, you go out with your white family in America, it's not a guarantee that your white kid will be safe from attack. Let's go to clip number 20 now. Here's a white family who thought it'd be a nice Christmas time activity to go ice skating. Let's watch. Black guy on an ice skating rink.
What's wrong with
goes up to like a 12-year-old, slams him to the ice. The kid starts crying and like flailing because he landed on his tailbone. It may have gotten spinal damage. But hey, it's just a black adult assaulting a 12-year-old child for no reason because he thinks it's funny, right? Not like this would ever be national news. It's not like this is even a local news story. Hell, the guys that did it filmed it and uploaded it because they think it's funny. Point of view, just ruined a kid's Christmas. Why? Does he have to have spinal surgery now? No, but see, they can pretend it was an accident because it's ice skating and like sometimes you'll run into each other. And so you can pretend to be doing that and get your rocks off by assaulting white children. Are we done with this yet? Gotta figure out why people are so enthralled by Nazis. Whatever could it be? Why are all these white people feeling like they're under attack? Because we continually tell them that they're evil and then people act out on it? Because in a single day in 2025, I can find 3 different videos of black people assaulting a dog and 2 children and celebrating it and laughing about it and being supported in this by their friends and family? Well, What is it going to take? How often is it going to have to happen? How many times? How long are the compilations going to have to get for white people realize what is actually going on here? All of the talk about empathy, all of the talk about diversity, it's all a lie. It always has been. And for the last 80 years or so, America has been subjected to the bastardization, to the racialization of our population, and white people the whole time have been going along with it in good faith, believing that if we drop our, you know, ethnic central identity, so will everybody else. We can all live along together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya under the rainbow. It's always been an abject, flagrant lie. That doesn't mean we have to hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. There are things I would do to some of these people that are unspeakable, sure. And in my heart would be the love of their victims, not the hatred of them. I don't hate black people. I don't hate Asian people. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate anybody. But at a certain point, we have to stop being victims. And we have to stop listening to the victimizers. And we have to stop believing the lies about diversity, about the modern world, about refugees. At a certain point, we have to stop being suckers, stop being victims, and stop acting like we're better than anybody else. And that really is how I think of this. If any other group of people subject to this, there'd be no end to it. There'd be no end to the discussion. There would be laws written. There would be, I mean, it would be insane. Why isn't it that way? Because white people think we don't deserve protection because we think we don't need it? Because we think that we are just better than everybody? And so it's okay if we get attacked? No. We're not better or more invulnerable than anybody. We're just as vulnerable as anybody else, only nobody else is getting attacked like we are. Nobody else is getting assaulted like we are. Nobody else is getting oppressed like we are. It's time to get over yourselves, white people. Get over yourselves and realize there's nothing moral or good about being a victim of a crime or to let other people be victims of crimes. And I'll try to move on, but I mean, I could literally go on and on and on about this. I got another stack here just of what Somalians have done to us. It's not just Somalians, it's everybody. You want to get into Europe? I got multiple videos from today of the European people being told they don't have a right to their homeland. This has nothing to do with stolen land. This has nothing to do with the crocodile tears they cry. You have to be able to see through all of that and understand fundamentally what's happening here. Materially, what is happening here is that there is a worldwide attempt to genocide white people, and they're succeeding because they've convinced all of us to lay down. That's it.
Nicotinamide. Now that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now, NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form, but has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Revival. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds known to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexshowstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our Ultra Methylene Blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes, okay? Our CMOS takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this, a week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90-plus percent of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product, and then realize this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at theoxygenstore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival at thealexshowstore.com, and know that it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to thealexshowstore.com. And we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at thealexshowstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, Bat Brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Oh yeah, we're getting into it now. Moving from our first favorite topic, racism, to our second, Jews. Oh, hooray. Nothing I love more than learning about how my entire country is under the heel of a highly coordinated, tightly allied group of ethnic supremacists. It's just wonderful. Now, it's interesting because while you will be called a conspiracy theorist for talking about Israel's deliberate takeover of our communication systems, it was in fact telegraphed by them in announcements made by Bibi Netanyahu. There are a couple aspects of this. There's Project Esther? Project Esther from the Heritage Foundation. That was in place before Trump even got elected, with the plan of the, you know, full-fledged Zionist takeover of the Republican Party. But then you have the media takeover, the Eighth Front War, as Benjamin Netanyahu calls it, where they announced, hey, we're losing the argument here, you know, because of all the dead babies. you know, our argument is 3,000-year-old Bible verse, and their argument is daily videos of dead babies. So they lost that argument. They're losing that argument. And so they went on the attack. Now, the other option would be to stop killing babies. But that was never actually an option. So the only option left available is to take over social media, take over mainstream media, pass laws to stop anti-Semitism, take over the Ivy League, and do anything else, regardless of precedent or law or spirit of our founding principles. None of that matters. All that matters is the freedom of action of the Israeli government. Again, not that they're actually under threat. Like, it'd be different if it's like, wow, we really got to do something to stop the attack that we're under. No, it's just like all they have to do is stop genociding people, but they don't want to do that. So this is all in service of that. All of this is to guarantee that they can continue to have total freedom of action in the Middle East, kill whoever the hell they want, and the American people will be ignorant to it or will support it. That's what the ultimate goal is. And they're doing this in a variety of different ways, obviously, right? You've got Larry Ellison taking over, not just, I mean, now they're trying to take over Warner Brothers. Trump has stepped in to stop them. Jared Kushner is involved with Larry Ellison's son and trying to take that over. They took over CBS, installed Barry Weiss, hardcore, you know, Zionist apparatchik in front of that. She's now picked Tony Dokupil as anchor to CBS Evening News. Now, he's such a, I mean, he's a self-described, quote, Zionist fanatic. I'm sorry, Barry Weiss is a self-described Zionist fanatic. Tony Dokupil went so far as to have an adult circumcision to get the job. Do you think I'm kidding? Do you think I'm kidding about this? The man converted to Judaism and wrote an article called How I Made the Cut for My New Religion. It was in 2014. The man actually chopped off a tip of his organ, and now he's got the job at CBS News. Congratulations, it worked. Okay, it's a little on, well, it's a little on the nose, you might say. But they're going farther than that, and they're desperately co-opting the evangelical movement, which has become a poison in America. And they have taken 1,070 handpicked evangelical pastors to Israel to become ambassadors for that foreign state. Now, if we weren't, in fact, ruled by the very people carrying this out, then this would be illegal. I mean, all of these people would have to register as foreign agents. It'd be a big scandal. It would be outrageous. But lucky for them, the very people carrying this out are the ones who would be in a position to stop it if they cared to. They say this is an effort to help Israel in their Eighth Front War for information in the U.S. Last month, we learned Israel's registered agents Show Faith by Works' Israel propaganda campaign outlines plans to geofence 523 churches for Israeli targeted marketing. They started hiring faith leaders to spread propaganda. This month, Israel flew 1,070 faith leaders to Israel for training in this regard. Let's go to clip number 34 here. This is what it looks like in Israel as they get their marching orders and their propaganda from the satanic elite that run that country. Let's watch. Do you know where your pastor was last week? This is from Gen X Girl 1994. Gen X Girl 1994 on X.
The Ambassador Summit taking place this week.
We're here for 7 days to support Israel and to take what we learn back to our people back home.
I believe it's imperative that we educate the younger generation on what it means to stand for Israel.
There's a lot to learn, a lot to, you know, be present for, and that is what I expect to do.
I'm on fire to spread the good news about Israel.
Israel's God's place. Jerusalem is God's place for God's people, and we need to support them.
Reverend Johnny Moore.
Johnny Moore, prominent pro-Israel evangelical, named chair of Gaza Aid Group. Isn't that nice? How GHF turned Gaza aid distribution into
a
profit-driven death trap.
To very answer Christian a thing to do. Call. Our faith requires action when darkness rises. And here we are, where the promises of Abraham still echo, where the psalmist's songs still rise. And we gather here on this closing afternoon to declare a spiritual war.
Yes, we welcome everybody that's showing your support for Israel and in the merit of Pastor Rocky being here.
One of the places hardest hit by the invasion of Hamas.
Every nation is only as strong as the men and women who've been willing to serve and sacrifice.
Good morning. We're worshiping on the Mount of Olives, the descendant of Jesus when he went to heaven, and where he's going to come back and return, and he's going to go right over there, and he's going to walk through those gates. He's going to, they built up, the Muslims have put all their graves, they built walls. He's going to walk right through it.
Absolutely. As a Christian, we support those that are God's chosen people.
Israel is a hero to the world. Israel is on the front lines of terrorism.
More. Let's take it down. We got to take this down. You're all Quisling traitors, actually. And you understand what they believe, right? They believe that Jesus is not going to come back until World War III starts. They're trying to start World War III. Their vision of Christianity is so utterly warped, they think it's a good thing that Israel is murdering Muslim people because that will outrage the Muslims to attack Israel, which will result in a massive widespread war that they believe will end with Israel nuking Damascus as the sign of Jesus' coming back. So they actually want world war. They want nukes to go off in the Middle East because they have been tricked by a less than 100-year-old lie about Christianity that Jesus needs our help to come back. He needs our help. We need to start the war that will be so bad that the only way humanity itself doesn't get completely obliterated is the direct intervention from the God of the universe. That's what they're trying to bring about. You are serving the devil. Is that hard to understand? Literally explain it to anybody that isn't in your cult. It doesn't make any sense. Try to explain to non-Christians that Jesus Christ wants you to start World War III. You don't even have to know about Jesus. No, that's not what he wants. So what are you talking about? So 1,000 pastors, 1,000 Christian American pastors have been taken to this satanic little Rothschild cancer node on the coast of the Mediterranean to be programmed into leading their American flock towards a pro-war, dehumanizing genocidal campaign that they believe will result in Jesus Christ coming back, because without us, I mean, you know, what's God going to be able to do, right? God needs you to start a war so that he can come back. That's what you people believe? Just utterly asinine and offensive. And again, they should be registered as foreign agents. They won't be. So let's go to clip 33 here. You can check the list to see if your church is on. And this is the thing. This isn't going to help Israel. It's going to destroy the church. What happened with the Republican Party? The Republican Party decided to go all in on the Israeli faction. They decided to do what these evangelicals are now doing, become the lickspittle slaves of Israel. What's happened to the Republican Party? Oh, we're failing on every front. We're probably going to be destroyed as a party. We're going to lose America because nobody who actually supports America can find support, because support is contingent on being a Zionist. They're co-opting evangelicalism just like they co-opted conservative politics. It's not going to help evangelicalism. It's not going to help Judaism. It's not going to help Israel. It's going to destroy the vessel that they're delivering it in. So now people are going to go to church, and they're going to be told by their pastor that they have to support this genocidal, psychopathic death cult in Israel. And they're going to think, I guess Christianity's not for me. There's a lot of speculation about this with Charlie Kirk, too, because remember, Charlie Kirk was extremely pro-Israel. He started to move away from the political Israel faction towards the end of his life. Sure, that was coincidental. But he still supported the state of Israel, and that was tied up in his religion. Now, there are rumors that he'd started going to Catholic Mass. He started to branch out and look at Catholicism, which makes perfect sense, because if your religious beliefs are tied up with your support of Israel, and you start realizing how evil Israel is, how utterly evil Israel is, and I mean, I don't even have time. I mean, the videos I could show you out of Israel. You think kicking a dog is bad? I can show you videos of Israeli West Bank settlers literally picking up baby lambs and cracking their spines over their knees. That's how sick these people are that Christians are now worshiping the ground they walk on. It's disgusting. And when you associate your religion with that, if a part of your faith system is that you have to support that, people are going to go, well, I guess I have to abandon my faith. People are going to abandon their faith. There's a huge problem right now on the right wing, I consider it a problem, with paganism. There are these pagans walking around acting like Jesus Christ didn't kick their gods' butts 2,000 years ago. Which, on that note, if you're a pagan, you're an idiot. And as a Christian, I probably genuinely believe in your gods more than you. I actually do think that there are spirits people called gods. I actually do think there were fallen angels. People called Thor, people called Apollo. I actually do believe they have the power to prophecy. I actually do believe all that stuff. I don't know if these pagans really do. I think it's just an edgelord thing. Do you know what the last prophecy of the Oracle at Delphi was? The Oracle at Delphi that like Homer visited? It's talked about in the Odyssey, that had been visited by pagans for 2,000 years because it gave accurate prophecy. Do you know what its last prophecy ever was? It was an admission of defeat. It was Apollo saying, we're not going to be interacting with you anymore. We have been driven out. The old gods are dead. That's what the last prophecy of the Oracle at Delphi was. So if you're actually a pagan, you actually believe these gods, listen to your own gods who told you they lost. Why do we have a problem with paganism? Because people look at Christian practice in America and they see it as nothing other than a Jewish trick. They're like, oh, you're Christian. You worship a Jew and all the Jews want you to be Christian so they can take advantage of you. The love of Israel that Christian churches have adopted in America is literally destroying Christianity. Because it's false. It's a heresy. It's utterly absurd. And you just have to read the Bible in vernacular English to see over and over and over again, it says, the promise to Abraham doesn't belong to the Jews anymore. It belongs to the Christians. That all those old rules the Jews had to follow, they don't have to follow them anymore because Christ is here. That the whole point of Judaism existing ever was as a delivery vessel for Christ. Right? Judaism was like this egg. The bird is Jesus. And it's like people look at the bird flying around, they go, oh, so you must love the egg, right? And it's like, no, the egg was just the vessel. The temple itself, like an egg, was cracked and destroyed when Jesus came. Now there are people out there trying to put the shells of the egg back together, and then they're going to present some sort of ungodly abomination and say, see, this is the bird, actually. Utterly inferior. Why do we put up with this? Why are Christians in America going over there? Why are they allowed to return? Let's go to clip number 33 here. Here's that list of churches that went to Israel for re-education.
A day or so ago, I did a video talking about 1,000 pastors that were flown to Israel to be re-educated on Israel and the things that Israel wants.
We are going to train 100,000 Christian ambassadors to be ambassadors in their own country for the state of Israel, to defend Israel's brand and to combat anti-Semitism.
And many people were like, well, what churches was it? And I would love to tell you. To give a big shout out to Gen X Girl on X and her friend Lynn 1171992 for helping her out putting all this together. There's tons. I can't go through them all in this video. It would take forever. But if you are in, say, like Texas, California, Arizona, Nevada. There's like one or two from West Virginia. There's one or two from Utah. Lots and lots and lots from Texas, Colorado, and California. Like lots and lots. There's a couple from North Carolina and then Wyoming. Baptist church, a lot of non-denominational
churches.
You can just
see how many there are. There are no Catholic churches, no Orthodox churches. It's all Protestant. It's all evangelical. 25,000 members in some of these churches. You should check yours. And if your priest has gone to one, you should leave your church and you should tell him why. You should find a different church that isn't acting as the willful servants of a foreign satanic state founded by the Rothschilds and still run by their cabal. What the hell is wrong with you? Now, a couple videos have dropped during the show today that I want to go to, so I haven't watched them. It's Ron Lauder, Despicable Ghoul, Skeleton Man, who's in charge, who runs the World Jewish Congress, which shouldn't exist. Here's Ron Lauder. Let's go to clip number 44 first, about how the Jewish diaspora and the World Jewish Congress plan to use their inordinate power to silence their enemies. Let's watch.
Anti-Semitism is rampant throughout our culture. For years, too many brushed it aside. They said, it's just a few angry kids. It won't go further. This is America. There's no anti-Semitism in America. They were wrong.
There wasn't.
Over the past 2 years, anti-Semitism didn't just rise. It exploded.
Let's pause it. Can we pause it real quick? Is there any reason why it exploded, Ron? You wanna go back? Gee, what happened about 2 years ago? What possibly could it be that over the last 2 years could have inspired this explosion of anti-Semitism? Now, according to him, it's all been lying dormant. It's this dormant, you know, DNA that Europeans have that just is expressing itself now. It's like a disease. There's no cause of it. There's no reason for it. It's just a genetic defect in the European genome that gets expressed sometimes and has to be crushed. It couldn't possibly be because of the open genocide Israel's been carrying out. It couldn't possibly be because pro-Israel voices in America continually justify and celebrate the abject terror and horror that has been foisted on the people of Gaza, like Randy Fine. It couldn't possibly be anything they've done ever, right? 2 years. What a coincidence. Let's go back to this jackass.
As much as it takes. To turn
Let me just say, for our radio viewers, he's in the Senate. He's speaking at a podium that has the official seal of the United States Senate in it. So I just want to lay that out. Sorry, back to old Ron.
The truth, not lies. Remember, social media is a battleground for the next generation, just as education is. And it's not just colleges and universities. Today, our enemies have pushed their indoctrination against Jews and Western civilization all the way down from kindergarten.
Oh, the indoctrination. Oh, what? Like just actually pointing out things that Israel's actually doing? We have to be stopped. We have to be stopped. Oh, dear. Yeah, they have to control education. They have to control social media. They have to control mainstream media. They have to control the government, or else, you know, this disease crops up. And the only cure is total abject subjugation by a multinational cabal of Jews. Wow, thank goodness, the cure, the vaccine is here. Wonderful. Here's how he plans to implement this, by basically dictating who we're allowed to have run our country. Let's go to the clip 45 here.
From foreign countries. Today, we're in the fight of our lives, and this is how we will fight back. First, we must use social media, because that's what young people follow. And I must tell you,
young people probably love this guy.
Israel must finally get serious about public relations.
Oh, yeah.
If Israel can't tell its amazing story to the world.
Such an amazing story.
Then its enemies will, and they've done it now.
Yeah,
we must expose every renegade teacher and their unions. We must expect moral courage from our political officials, not excuses. We must rebuild education around truth, not slogans and lies. We will have to reinvent how we teach the history of the Jewish people, because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust. The World Jewish Congress has produced some excellent films that explain what happened.
That's what we need. We need more Holocaust films, guys.
And any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, whose platform includes anti-Semitism, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents. We cannot possibly sit by and let anti-Zionists determine our future. None of this will be easy.
So anybody that isn't, remember, you translate their words, right? When he says anti-Semitism, what he means is anything less than, again, just abject, servile capitulation to anything Israel ever wants to do. Anything less than that, this guy considers not just anti-Semitism, but Jew hate, right? So anybody that runs for office in America, he's in the Capitol building of America right there, saying anybody that runs for a seat in this building, Congress or Senate, who is not an abject servant of the Jews, will be targeted specifically. They'll fund their opponents and they'll attack them with their many methods that we see on display on a continual basis. I think, who's this guy? Ron Lauder? Can be deported to Israel. It's offensive that this man is even allowed in our country, but he's giving commanding speeches in our Senate as the leader of the World Jewish Congress. Nobody else sees a problem with this. Jews out there, think this is helping? Do you think this is a healthy way to interact with criticisms of the state of Israel? Or do you think Ron Lauder himself might have an ulterior motive here? Do you think he's another like Rabbi Shmuley type character who's literally there to create and foster and gin up anti-Semitism at the very same time that he claims to be fighting it? Because in his worldview, in his perspective of the world, Jews not being hated is a problem. Jews feeling safe around non-Jews is a problem. They want anti-Semitism because they want Jewish people to come under their umbrella, to go for them to protection, to believe that the only way not to be subject of an anti-Semitic pogrom is to give over power to these foreign billionaire psychopaths. Don't fall for it. These people are bad. They're not American. They're not good. They're evil scumbags whose entire worldview is based on power and the elevation of their own power over, above, and in opposition to everybody else's. Reject it outright. Don't feel bad about it.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Info Warriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Sprint this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.